This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And welcome back in, everybody. Another hour of Sports Daily here. We are rocking and rolling on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend, getting ready for a big golf showdown with Tommy here a little bit later. I need some strokes. We'll have to figure that out. I have to figure out how this is going to work. I did have a great listener yesterday that was like, he was like, man, I love the show. I was listening. He was like, you have, you know, one thing I could tell you about an easy way to just really improve your game. And I'm like, all right. It was like, you could go get some lessons. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it was very sincere. It's from the heart and I appreciate it, It is true. Like that's about all that's going to help.
I mean, you've done that though, haven't you? Haven't you gone, done some lessons before?
No, I shout out to Crestview Country Club. One of the cool things that I don't think we've ever talked about this. Maybe we have. When I got my new irons, I called up there and the, you know, Trent, who's the head of golf instruction up there, helped me fit some irons in that with the swing, you know, the TrackMans, the big fancy simulators and stuff. We went through that a little bit and I did go to some like clinics. So then I get those irons and then he put on like a Saturday morning clinic thing. This would have been in the winter, I guess. And unfortunately, like kids' sports calendars and everything overtook it, and I couldn't keep going. But I went two or three times, go through some real basic stuff. And there were some really good golfers in there too. And then there were some beginner level golfers, and then the guys like me who are just like whatever we've been playing our whole life, but probably the wrong way. So yeah, I took a few things out of that. I think, you know, for me, it's funny. Like we talk a lot about golf, and I love golf. I love to play golf. Today, when we play, will be the first 18-hole round that I've played all year. You know, I play like 6 holes at a time as much as I can, or I hit the range. I really do need consistency. And then to the great listener's point who emailed us, like, I want to get my kids a lesson before I get a lesson. You know, I want them to like start from a good place. Like I grew up on like a par three, go out and, you know, whatever, just rip it and, you know, be idiots for a while. That's how I learned how to play golf. Like, it's not from any place of goodness, like, to actually be a good golfer.
One of the fun things about Crestview is that they do a lot of like really cool golf events throughout the year. So, and like, some of them are casual, some of them are more competitive. I know they do like a Thursday night men's league where they do different formats throughout the year, go out and play 9 holes after work on a Thursday and, you know, different formats. And then they end up like tracking like player of the year. You get points the more you go and do it and how you play each week. And like, that's kind of cool. They also do a deal where you can pair up with another golfer and then you go and you play matches against other pairs on the course. And a buddy of mine and I, we've been partners for a lot of years. We had our match last week. We went out and played a match against 2 other guys at the club and got our butts handed to us. Like, it was so bad. And we didn't play that poorly. We played okay. they were making every putt they looked at, like 30-foot putts. I mean, it was like ridiculous to the point to where we looked at each other and we're like, what are we supposed to do? There's literally nothing. It was like Rory McIlroy at the Masters. Like, nothing we can do. He's just going to be clutch and beat us. And that, like, those guys beat us bad.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. They do. It's not just golf either. That's what my wife basically does with tennis. She's in the some USTA or something, and then she'll go play competitive matches. Like, it's really cool. Give Crestview a call. There's a Friday. I go up there, and sometimes we'll try to have lunch like Friday if we both are done and the kids are. And there's a group that's always there. They've always just come off. They're always in for happy hour having a bit. And I'm so envious of that. I'm like, man, that would be so cool. Like, just to have that. Like, that's the thing that you do. But anyway, give Crestview a call. Tommy and I will be out there today. If you see us out on the course, say hi. Got to figure out how to even it up a little bit. Maybe it's as simple as strokes. I'm a much, much worse golfer with a much worse handicap than Tommy.
Give you strokes. I'll give you a stroke a hole. You'll get 18 strokes.
And that might be too much. I don't know until we do it again. This will be the first 18 I've played all year. Full 18. I'm really looking forward to it. Update on the poll. We're at 50-50, Tommy.
All right.
We're at 50-50 on whether it's acceptable to wear a flannel shirt on May 2nd. I contend that it's 55 degrees outside, and I'll wear a flannel anytime I want. We got a really funny meme that I haven't seen before. Chris sent this to us on Twitter. It's a picture of a dude in skinny jeans and a flannel and a suspenders, and the text says, "I'm so glad that I don't have to actually hunt. I have no clue where gluten-free tacos live." It's a really good meme. I'm not even offended. Well, I don't offend easily. You can say whatever you want about me. I don't really care, but it's funny. That's a really funny one. I don't know how many people are hunting in flannel. I don't think many. To all our hunters out there, that wouldn't be probably the right attire to go hunting. But
I mean, you're a full beard away from being a member of Mumford and Sons. Like, that's the way you're dressed and the way you look today. You just need that beard, and you would be Mumford and Sons ish.
I am going to learn the banjo before I die. So I don't know if I can grow a good beard, but I'm going to learn the banjo.
If you could grow a full beard, would you do it? I know TV makes it more difficult, but like all things being equal, you wouldn't do that?
Everybody in my family, immediate family, hates beards. No offense to beard people. Like, if I go a day without shaving and I've just got some scruff, my kids are like, what is that? My oldest daughter is terrified that I will have gray hair in my beard. There you go. Thank you, Max. For whatever reason, like, she's so worried that I'm going to have gray hair. And I'm like, sweetie, I'm going to have gray hair. Like, you should be worried that I don't have hair with this melon. Like, you don't, that's the, she's like, no, I don't want gray hair. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm going to have gray hair.
I can see you in 10, 15, 20 years pulling a George Clooney. Did you see him and the bad dye job that he had recently in an interview? Oh, like, it was like jet black. And like, the whole world is like,
I won't go that way. Clooney,
like, let it go. And that, like, everybody knows, like, he's been like salt and pepper for a long time and, you know, has gone gray and all of that. And I think that's why, like, I don't know. I mean, I think that's probably why ladies have loved him forever. And he went like jet black. I think he was on 60 Minutes or something. And it was bad.
No, I'll never go that kind of paint. If anything, I don't know if you can see this.
I don't think so.
I'll put this on the video stream. So this is my grandpa. I mean, that's me. That's what I'm going to be going for. The Bob Barker just like white, let's go. And that's what I said, you know, but what about when it gets white? And she's like, oh no, white's okay. And I'm like, oh, well then we're probably going to be good. Like, my mom, my grandpa, like, white hair, pretty young too. Like that, if it's, she's just afraid of the gray. So either way, she's afraid a lot will come in my beard. I'll tell you, like, if I wasn't on TV, I would be more inclined to see what it would be like to have long hair than a beard. Like, a beard can be, I don't know how you do it. Like, beard, if I go like a week and kind of get to the point where, like, it just itches and it annoys me. I would be more inclined to go long hair. Like, what would it look like if I had long hair? That would be the first experiment, I think. Yeah, oh, Walter Goggins right there. Yeah, that's money.
You're one step away from Walton Goggins on Righteous Gemstones. I know you don't watch. I don't think you have HBO Max. But his character in Righteous Gemstones. That if you could go white hair and longer with those glasses,
the white pompadour.
You would be on board. Pompadour. Yep.
Yes, I would absolutely and may rock a white pompadour. I don't know how to do the pompadour. I think it involves like a blow dryer. Which I've never really used, but yes, that could very much be me 10 years. I don't know when it's going to happen. Like, I feel like the gray's coming for me. It's there right now. Like, it's on the sides. Like, my wife and kids point it out every time they see it glistening in the sun. They're like, well, what's that? What's that on the side there? And I'm like, this is so funny.
I'm getting it more like in my beard, like in my stubble. Oh,
it's all
it's
over
pretty,
my beard.
It's pretty gray, right?
No,
right
I have now. A tri-colored beard, which is another problem. Like all the colors are in there, including my genetic red hair, which three of my brothers are like straight gingers. And so it comes in my beard. But what I've noticed is all of that hair that used to be red in my beard is now that's the hair that's gray.
I mean, circling back around, I mean, the tricolor beard, I feel like if you grew a beard, it would look pretty similar to the color of the shirt that you're wearing today.
Yeah, that's a very good example. Yes. So we appreciate the ridicule there from Chris. I think that's a really funny meme, even though I don't think people hunting flannel, you know, just to throw that back at you. But gluten-free tacos, that's good stuff. Where is the vote here? Let's just see. Yeah, we're still 50-50. Still 50-50 out there. The question that you can vote on my Twitter page, is it okay to wear flannel in May, on May 2nd? It's 55 degrees outside. I'm not wearing this outside. I'm wearing it in my basement.
The context is really important, and I clarified it on your poll. Like, it's not about the flannel. It's about the color of the flannel. That's my point.
Here's Tommy, I think I've worn this shirt once a week for the last 6 months. Like, I that's the thing. Like, I have a rotation of shirts. And this is one of them. I wear this shirt all the time.
That shirt just goes perfect. Like if you grew a mustache, like I think of Bob Vila.
I grow a mustache.
I think of Bob Vila when I look at that shirt.
I wish I could grow a mustache. Maybe more than any. We're talking about hair. Maybe more than anything, I wish I could grow a mustache. It doesn't show up. Like it's just not there for me. All right. When we come back later this hour, we got Jalen Thompson in, our Royals insider beat reporter for the KC Star. He's going to join us. We'll talk about this Royals streak. I do want to talk about what JJ Redick had to say about the Lakers. He's kind of agreeing with the Mavericks here. I'll tell you what that is. If you missed it, we'll get into it when we return. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. It is, it's Friday. Who's ready for the weekend, right? We're going to have beautiful weather this weekend. Take advantage. You know, we love the rain. We'll take the rain any way we can get it, but it is going to be nice to see a little sunshine on a weekend. I don't know if we were 0-for on that. I think we had one weekend in April where we actually got some sunshine and things. So that'll be good. That'll be nice. And we appreciate the rain. Hopefully we can fill up Cheney Lake and we're at least doing damage to this drought in all of these things. Real quick mention here, ICT Open Streets or Open Streets ICT, the Nomar edition is this weekend. It'll be Sunday from 12 to 4. So this will happen on 21st Street. It'll be from Nomar Market at Broadway out to Woodland Park. It's free. It's open to all ages. It's the North End. We know the North End culture up there is way cool and fun. It'll be a family-friendly celebration for the community up there. One afternoon, they've got a mile closed there, and it'll be a public space. You can walk and dance and bike and play, all that kind of stuff. There's live music. There's group fitness. There's street art, of course, food trucks. So get up there and check it out this weekend. That'll be a fun event. Again, it's Sunday from 12 to 4, and it's the Open Streets ICT up in Nomar this time. So get out there and check that out. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. Look, this Lakers stuff is getting interesting. Lakers are always, well, let's admit it, love it or hate it, they're always interesting. We mentioned yesterday, Ball's in LeBron's court. I think we can just, whatever happens with LeBron will happen. I think the more interesting thing is now in the aftermath of this trade, like it was pretty clear in that series they needed a big. They traded their big away to go get Luka Doncic. And that's fine. And like, if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm totally willing to accept that. And if that's what it costs you to get Luka, like whatever. But then you hear stuff like JJ Redick saying, I'll start with the offseason work that's required to be in championship shape. The Mavs said they traded Luka because of conditioning. I mean, you can read between the lines and look, Luka's got a dad bod. Okay. That's fine. So does Jokic. So do a lot of these guys. He's got dad bod. We got dad bods. It's okay. I'm not an NBA player. I will say that. But I don't. That's an interesting approach from the Lakers organization because you're almost conceding that the Mavs were right about that. I don't know that Luka's going to ever be looking like Giannis Antetokounmpo out there. Like, Luka's Luka. And I think that's kind of what you work with there. I think he's one of the best players in the world. I think they can absolutely win championships with him. I think the Mavericks are total idiots for trading him for what they traded him for. All of those things. But yeah, he's a little chubby, and like that's part of who he is.
By the way, I think it's unfair. It's totally unfair to Luka to lump you and I and our dad bods in with him. I groan standing up from a chair And I'm not an NBA player for sure.
Well, he's also like 24, 25 right. years old.
The one thing that I want to point out too is you say the Lakers organization conceding a little bit to the Mavs. I don't think it's the Lakers organization. I think it's JJ Redick. I think that's different.
Could be.
That's a separate thing entirely. Like, I'm not sure that sentiment is probably going to be openly shared by Rob Pelinka, you know, by the front office, by everybody else. I think it's JJ Redick as the coach kind of going rogue a little bit. Because if I'm the Lakers organization as a whole, I'm not going to concede a single thing about that trade back to the Mavericks. I'm going to go to my grave thinking, or at least believing and saying to the public out loud, that we made the best decision and we win this trade bar none, hands down, right? Like, I'm not going to concede a single inch by even suggesting or insinuating at all that the Mavs were right about the conditioning from Luka. So I don't think this is, at least in my opinion, an orchestrated organizational call out for Luka. I think it's JJ Redick probably going rogue.
Here's what I would ask Lakers fans, you, anybody. Would Anthony Davis being on that team and not Luka, would they have won a title this year?
No.
So that's where, like, the buck stops there when you're talking about that trade. Like, no, it didn't work out this year. I when that trade happened, to me, it was like, huh, I wonder how that'll work out with LeBron this year. Like, I never was like, oh, the Lakers are about to win a title now. No. It was always about, like, I wonder if that can work with Luka and LeBron. They're really similar players. But that's it. Like, they weren't going to win it anyway. This trade was about what happens, you know, 10 years from now. Or in the next 10 years, we'll put it. Like, didn't have anything to do with that. This team wasn't going to win a title anyway. I just think it's interesting to go on the attack, if you're Redick, at that thing, which is how the Mavericks have tried to justify the trade in the first place, right? They need players that buy into playing a certain way or whatever it is, whatever nonsense they came up with. Like, they basically, that thing is how they're trying to justify trading away one of the best players in the world who happens to be very young and transcendent for nothing, by the way. And so that's where it's like, you really want to go down that road publicly? JJ Redick, like, you want to challenge his conditioning? The Mavs just did that. Like, you didn't need to do that. It's either going to change or it won't. And I got to tell you, if you're going to be successful in the NBA, you got to figure out a way to win a title with Luka Doncic, no matter what kind of shape he's in. He plays the entire game. He scores a ton of points. Is he a defensive liability? Yeah, he is right now. Okay. You know, there have been non-great defensive stars who have led their team to titles in this league. And you know, just it's ironic, but Dirk Nowitzki's won. I don't think Jokic is an all-world defender. I'm willing to be wrong about that. Our NBA lifers and junkies can correct me on that, but I don't think he is. Like, you know, figure out a way to win with him. Bring in a bunch of other defensive dogs and let Luka be the star that he is for being the star that he is. Like, you're going to really try and change what Luka is?
Well, and don't you think, too, a little bit that, you know, JJ Redick is, you know, maybe trying to cast the blame away from
yes.
him and his coaching? You know, and because 100%. Like that's a huge reason why the Lakers didn't win that series and why they got bounced because of just the adjustments and the coaching decisions that JJ Redick made. And, you know, there were multiple times in that series that I thought he might be in a little bit over his head. Like, he's not maybe quite ready for prime time, you know, in this kind of scenario as the head coach of the Lakers, and even like post game situations where he's getting combative with reporters asking questions and things like that. And the entire time, like, there's not been a single moment where I've thought, can the Lakers win a championship with Luka? It's been, can the Lakers win a championship with JJ Redick? That's been the biggest question, you know, because like Darvin Ham was there and he's, you know, had kind of more of a pedigree or a resume than JJ Redick as a head coach. Frank Vogel won a championship as the coach of the Lakers recently, and he's had more of a pedigree, you know, than JJ Redick has. And that was a huge, huge storyline, huge talking point when Redick got the job, was that the dude doesn't have any NBA coaching experience. He was a podcaster and an analyst, and he was buddies with LeBron. And so I think that now they've got a bunch of talent, but I think it points directly back to some of the coaching decisions that J.J. Redick made in this series that cost the Lakers a chance to move on. I don't think it's about whether or not the team is championship tough or they need their better conditioning or they need to work harder in the offseason. I think it goes back a lot to just flat out coaching decisions that J.J. Redick made.
I'm going to give him a bit. I don't have a problem with the fact that he didn't have the NBA coaching experience. I think there we've seen enough now in the NBA to know that that can work. But I do think the leash has probably got to be pretty short. If J.J. Redick is there and that appeases LeBron, okay. I think they need an offseason to better build around now a team that focuses on Luka and LeBron, and they need to bring in some size. Which Rob Pelinka said they wouldn't. Of course they would. They traded one of the best centers. I mean, the Mavericks didn't get – I say they didn't get – I always say they didn't get anything. They got Anthony Davis, who's great. But in the context of that trade on the Mavs side, that didn't matter. It doesn't make any sense. The Lakers did lose Anthony Davis, though. Like that, you know, the thing that they needed so desperately, they traded away to get Luka. Like, it's predictable. Now they need an offseason to go and, you know, get some players that can make up for the deficiencies you might have to deal with by having a player like Luka. And so go do it this offseason. But if it doesn't work next year, and now LeBron's probably at the end or whatever, then yeah, Redick's going to have to go. And if there's already this sort of tension between he and Luka, and maybe Luka responds to that, I doubt it. I doubt Luka cares what J.J. Redick thinks of his conditioning. Everybody his entire life has probably been concerned.
Yeah, I don't think he really cared what Jason Kidd thought about his conditioning.
Exactly. Or Nico Harrison or anybody. And like, and again, like, he's focused on other things. He's one of the best players in the world. I think at some point you can overthink the situation. Luka's one of the best players in the world. Whatever he does to put himself in that position is working, right? So leave that alone. Try to now take that skill set. And there's nothing wrong with trying to get more out of Luka. So don't misunderstand. Like, I don't have any issue with challenging Luka to be better, but that particular thing and the timing of that and everything was a little strange to me and probably not very productive. Look, the NBA's got to be, we call baseball managers managers. I'm not sure it's ever more than it is in the NBA, in the current NBA and all of sports. Like, you got to deal with that more than anywhere else. Football, maybe with quarterbacks, but in football, you can work around a diva. You can't really work around a star diva in the NBA. You got to have them, right? So to mess with them like that about that thing, which you know he's going to be sensitive about because of the way things ended, and not that he's sensitive about, you know, being pudgy or whatever. It's being sensitive about that being the reason that his life was turned upside down. That kind of seems like a jerk move, which J.J. Redick was known for as a player and all these things. It's just kind of being a jerk, right? Like, you just kind of being a jerk there. Like, that's not productive. And if you're not being productive, what are you doing?
Well, and because, you know, look, he didn't name anybody by name. But, I mean, like, we all know who he's talking about, right?
About,
like,
LeBron's conditioning.
Yeah, who else on that team are we, you know, do we right. look at and be like, oh, he's a little chubby. You know, he's a lot of shape. And who, there's nobody else on that roster, at least that I know of, that has gotten consistent criticism or there have been right. questions about his conditioning over the course of his career other than Luka. So when he says conditioning, off-season, like all of that stuff, without saying Luka, you know he's saying Luka. And like, honestly, I might even have a little bit more respect for Redick if he had called out Luka by name. Like that's who you're talking about. Like, if you're going to be open about it, like, just like call a spade and say, I feel like Luka needs to be more conditioned. Whether or not he's right or wrong, own that and call the guy out by name as opposed to being like vague about it. And we all know who you're talking about.
But just like, it's not like, just come out and say, we're going to work this offseason to make Luka the best defender he can be. Right. Like, we're going to really work to improve his defense. We think there's more there and we're going to try and get it this offseason. Like, you. There are 1,000 ways you can say what he's saying without being a jerk. And why do you have to be a jerk? You ever had a real jerk manager, Tommy? And you just sit there and you're like, man, why are you such an ass? Like, you don't have to be. Like, what good is that doing anybody? Like, and you watch it from afar, whether it's to you or whether it's to somebody else, or you're like, what, like, why? Like, why are we doing this? This isn't necessary. And that's what it feels like. Like, he feels like your jerk boss. It's a little bit of a bully, just like picking on people around the office. And you're like, oh, whatever, dude. Like, you do you. I don't know. I like, if you want to improve Luka's defense, go for it. Be a coach. Improve his defense. Going out to the public airwaves a couple days after a loss and twisting that particular knife for a dude that literally had his life turned upside down in this surprise, like, What? That's just not, like, it's not
productive. Well, and on top of that too, I mean, you know, knowing how insecure and, you know, just out of touch Nico Harrison has been, and he's a non-factor in everything, right? But, like, I guarantee you, he latches on to that, like, a little bit of validation, you know, like, sure. Hey, we were right. We made the right decision. See, the Lakers are experiencing the same thing we did. And it's like, dude, like, that doesn't mean that the decision was still any good, but I guarantee you, knowing the way Nico Harrison has reacted ever since this trade happened, you better believe that he's grabbing any kind of shred of relevancy that he can, even internally, to be like, man, look, we made the right decision. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about.
And again, if you're like, the Lakers weren't winning a title with Anthony Davis this year either. And I hate that Anthony Davis gets caught up in this too. That dude's awesome. And he also got caught up in just a chaos of all of this. But the Lakers lacked him, basically. That's what they needed. And they'll probably go find it in the offseason. If there's one thing that there won't be lacking, it's like the old school center, because they're less value. But that would be very valuable for the Lakers in the offseason. Do you think this is a pretty simple question. And it's got two parts. Do you think Luka wins a championship in LA?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I think he does.
I think definitely.
I don't think he wins one with the current. No, I don't think JJ Redick wins.
JJ Redick wins a championship.
I don't think JJ Redick wins a championship. I think JJ Redick is the coach until LeBron is done, and then I think they'll go get another coach.
Yeah, it'll be next year. And look, maybe they can do something special this offseason and it works. But yes, I agree with that. All right. That's NBA. What do we have tonight in the NBA? By the way, we get the
is game 7 tonight?
Rockets. Yeah, the Rockets and the Warriors. Game 6.
Game 6.
We'll see what Fred can do. The game 7 that you referenced there, Clippers Nuggets, that'll be on Saturday. But we'll kind of keep an eye on Fred tonight and see if he can take that to a game 7. They are 5.5-point dogs to Golden State. There was a little drama there, right? Wasn't there some whining that they were being mean to Steph Curry, who had like a hurt hand or something?
There's always something.
There's always something. That's right. I'm just going to tell you right now, if there was a shred of weakness or a shred of any of that anywhere that you could see, Fred VanVleet's coming at it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're limping, he's going to take advantage of that. So I don't know how hurt Steph is or not. I'd seen that just like as an aside. But Fred VanVleet is a great story. So he'll play tonight against these Warriors. I think the Rockets' chances are slim, but, you know, back against the wall, we'll see if Fred can do something special. We're almost to this next round. This next round of the NBA playoffs, can't wait for it. But I hope Houston can stretch that series out.
Hey, by the way, our poll, the no's have it right now, 55% to 45%.
Who did you text?
I didn't send it to anybody, but I would like to make it clear, as of right now, the no's are winning.
All right. Look, anybody do it? I am about to revolt and go like full Hawaiian every day on all of you, because I just don't appreciate anybody telling me what I can wear, when I can wear it. I don't.
I mean, look, like, you can wear whatever you want. It doesn't mean that people have to support it. I certainly don't. But you are well within your right to wear whatever the heck you want.
I'll
make fun of you while you do it. So, I mean,
look, and I'd appreciate some support out there or some criticism. Either way, as long as it's funny, we're in good shape, as it has been so far. Thanks, everybody, for participating in this little sidebar.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow. It's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Fridays mean a visit with Jalen Thompson, our Royals insider from the KC Star. You can follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. Jalen, welcome in. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jacob. How are you doing?
Good. A couple weeks ago, Jalen, things were looking a little dire. Now it's 9 out of the last 10. The Royals are feeling good. They're winning some road games. They'll go into Baltimore and hope Baltimore doesn't pick this weekend as the time to get it figured out. But look, as worried as we were, you called it a 3 out of 10 at kind of the peak bottom of the April run. This is why. They're still not consistently scoring any runs, no offense to yesterday, but they haven't needed to because the pitching has just been so dang good.
Exactly right. When you get a pitcher in Noah Cameron, St. Joseph native, by the way, makes his MLB debut and nearly throws a no-hitter, that just goes to show you that the type of development that they have within their organization and their depth, that pitching rules the roost around Kansas City. And I think as long as the hitting comes along and the pitching stays consistent, this Royals team can make some noise.
It's going to make some noise. We were joking about this. Like, their odds to win the World Series, Jalen, have gone down, actually, from where they were at the beginning of the season. I can't figure that out. So as I observe, you've got this team here. Their pitching has gotten better than it was a year ago, which is really impressive to think about considering they traded away Brady Singer. But because the bullpen has gotten so much stronger, and now you haven't lost a thing in the rotation. Like, if that's your baseline, the offense needs to be there. But even if it's not, it's a good team. And then you look at the slow starts. I don't know. I don't get that. I think people should be more optimistic right now about the Royals than they were to start the season, if you knew the pitching was going to be like this.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, too, is when you look at odds, people, it's not football, where you have 17 games and your odds can pretty much be consistent after game 10. In the same vein, this is baseball and you have 6 months. So you can look totally different month to month. And that's what the Royals did in really week to week. They looked terrible for 1 week when they went 2-8, and now they look really good when they 9-10. So they're going to have ups and downs. We all know this. I think that when you have to look at the whole landscape like we just talked about, the Royals can pitch, and if you can pitch, that's key because you're limiting teams from scoring. If the Royals can continue to just get production from Michael Garcia, which they've done all year so far, you've seen Bobby Wood Jr., he's done it all year. Vinny Pasquantino is coming around. Salvador Perez is coming around. As long as they can just get 4 or 5 of those guys to be consistent with the pitching, the Royals can win a lot of games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Look, their offense, I don't know if it's going to be enough. I think it'll be more than it has been because I think Vinny will hit more than he has, and Salvi's already heating up. So I think there will be some improvement. But even if there's not enough improvement there, going to find an outfield bat at the deadline it's like one of the most attainable things you can do. And so you have that piece. Like, it will be very easy for them if they need to go add just a little bit of offense. They're not going to make some headline, I don't think. And the other part of it is when you see a guy like Noah Cameron do what he did, when you know Alec Marsh is coming back, it's not just that their pitching's really good, their pitching's really deep. And so they can withstand some of the things that might derail teams. Because if any of their starters, God forbid, miss significant time, they do have some decent options, probably more than most teams have. You can kind of look at it as, you know, a 7-deep rotation. Maybe it's even 8 with Daniel Lynch, who knows. But that also, to me, builds a little cushion for them.
Exactly. And you can't forget about Kyle Wright, who's going to start a rehab assignment, too, in AA. So you have all these different arms that you could use in case of injury or things like what happened with Cole Reagans, where he missed the start to deal with his left groin. I think that for the Royals, you're right. Getting an outfielder will be probably a key objective for them going down the stretch because you got to have production from those outfield spots. I like what Drew Waters is doing, but can he be consistent? He hasn't shown it at the MLB level really his entire career. This is like his first season doing that. So I think they have to get someone that can fill in one of those outfield spots. MJ Melendez is in AAA. Hunter Renfro is playing better of late, but he's still not what you want from him. And you know you're going to get defense from Kyle Isbell, but the offense, you're not really counting on that. So you have to have someone to fill in those gaps if this team wants to go where they want to go, and that's to win the American League Central Division.
One of the keys will be Salvador Perez. What's the latest on him? Had to leave the game yesterday. I think it was probably after legging out that double, but what do we know? How serious is this?
Yeah, left hip soreness. When he was rounding first base, trying to get to the double, you know, he slid in and he kind of felt discomfort while he was rounding first base. The Royals say he's going to get more treatment. He's going to get evaluated again today before the game in Baltimore. And he actually joked with Matt Quatrero. He said, "Don't put the lineup out yet. Let me see how I feel." So, you know, Salvi's going to try to play. He always wants to play. So we'll see if they beat cautious with him or anything like that, but it sounds like it's pretty minor at this stage.
I mean, is it something as simple as like just DH him for this series?
Probably more than likely. He might be a DH today for Friday and then see how he feels Saturday and Sunday. But I don't think it's too major. Like Salvi said himself after the game, he just said he felt better. So, I mean, you know, he's 34 going on 35. You know, these things happen, you know. So left hip soreness is the best case scenario for him at this point.
And maybe even minor enough that he doesn't miss any time then.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Just right back in the lineup.
Exactly. He's probably going to play today if he has his way.
All right. While we're on the injury front, how's Cole Reagans coming and how's Hunter Harvey coming?
Yeah, I think it's a good sign for Cole Reagans that the Royals decided to – they sent Noah Cameron back down and they brought up Taylor Clark. So I think that's a good sign for Cole Reagans that he's probably going to be okay or is getting better and, you know, getting to a point where he can probably pitch again. All accounts, the Royals have said that he looked good pitching off the mound and, you know, in bullpen sessions. So I think it's just going to be how he can manage that injury dealing with the groin. And Hunter Harvey, they said he's, by all accounts, doing better as well. Progressing. Hopefully they can get him on a rehab assignment if that's needed in the upcoming days. But they're looking forward to getting him back as well.
And then there a little house cleaning here. What is the latest with Cags? Jack Caglione, is he acclimating to the outfield? How's he been hitting? Like what is he doing down in AA right now?
He's still ripping it. He's still producing at a top level in AA with the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. You're right. He got in the outfield. He's playing that position. And it's not foreign to him. He's played the outfield a bunch in high school and growing up. So it's not like he won't be a fish out of water playing in the outfield. But I think it's an important step for him to play in the outfield because if you're looking at his progression and where – a lot of Royals fans want him to be and what the Royals organization wants him to be, adding the ability to play the outfield is a key step because we know the bat is going to travel. We know that he's going to be someone that the Royals are going to count on for years to come. I think it's just a matter of allowing him to continue to see pitching, continue to see guys that he might have seen one time, see him again, make those adjustments and get those at-bats because what you want to do is you want him to be ready when it's time to call him up and he doesn't have to go back down again. So him playing the outfield, him getting those at-bats in AA, I think that's all going to be key because once Jack Caglione lands at Kauffman Stadium, it's going to change and shift the culture of the Royals franchise for a long time.
What do you think is more likely? We see Jack Caglione up at the big league level or they've added a bat from outside the organization, which happens first is more likely.
I think you'll probably see them add a bat first at some point in when it's time near the trade deadline or things of that nature, because you don't want to put a lot of pressure on the kid to come up and then have to, you know, really shine and be the stabilizing force as a run producer. But I do think that if Jack Caglione keeps playing the way he's playing, you will see him at some point this year, whether that's in August or September, just to get his feet wet at the big league level. And I really think that if that happens, you'll definitely see him in 2026, where, you know, he's going to be up and being a key part of the lineup. So it just depends on what the Royals want to do and how well he continues to adapt. I mean, where are they at when we get to June and July? Do they need an extra bump in the lineup? Those are things that J.J. Piccolo and the front office are going to have to discuss, because if you have a talent like that sitting in Double-A or in your system, you have to be judicious about when you want to bring him up. Because once, like I said, once you bring him up, you don't want to send them back down.
Yeah. I mean, is there a world where he doesn't come up to the big league level this year?
You know, that's a good question. And I'm sure that that's also probably on table. But the way he's been hitting and the way he's been adjusting, I personally think it's going to go. He continues to play in Double-A. And then when we get to July, we'll see where he's at. Now, he could get promoted to Triple-A. We've seen the Royals already do that with Peyton Wilson. He got promoted to Triple-A after he was crushing it in Double-A. So it could be one of those things where he continues to crush it and then he goes and tries Triple-A for a bit. And then maybe that's where he gets more and more and more reps in the outfield. And then from there, if he can hit there, he might get called up. I think we will see him this year. I just think it's too much of significance of what he's doing in Double-A to be ignored. I think you have to see what that looks like at the big league level.
It's got to be plate discipline. I mean, that's the thing. And the other thing, don't you think, like, if the offense starts to produce, like, there's less pressure, that's, you know, that he can work that plate discipline down there. And one of the big things, we know Salvi's heating up. Bobby Witt Jr. has been great. Mikel Garcia has been great. Vinny Pasquantino has been the slowest going. You tell me what you've seen. I think he's been hitting the ball harder, and there's been a little bit of bad luck, mm-hmm. and that he's probably looking like he's about to round into form.
Yes, I think he's about to round into form for sure. We talked to him, and he has said that he was encouraged by some of his swings that he had against the Rays in Tampa. He leads the team in RBI, so that's really crazy to think about the guy that, you know, isn't hitting the best average-wise. He still leads the team in RBIs. It seems like he was just a tick or two late with his swing. And, you know, that caused the strikeouts. That caused him to foul some pitches off that he normally would get. But when you look at what he did with a couple of the home runs and how he's swinging the bat lately, I think as he's rounding into form, I think he's going to have a better May than he had in April. And the Royals definitely need that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. Jalen, we appreciate it. We'll follow your work at the KC Star each and every day on the Royals. Follow Jalen on X at Jalen Thompson. A lot of good stuff there today and a good vibe for the Royals. We'll see if they can carry it into the weekend.
Thank you, Jacob.
There goes Jalen Thompson. Appreciate Jalen for being here with us. That'll do it for Sports Daily. Tommy and I get to play a little golf here in a little bit. Maybe I'll show up in a flannel, some sandals and socks. I'll just, you know, my goal in life now is to embarrass Tommy as much as I embarrass my wife, because apparently he cares that much about what I wear.
Look, I don't think we're going to have an answer on this dilemma. We're back to 50-50 on our poll. So people are just as split as you and I are on this.
Yeah, that's we'll solve some things. We'll be back Monday to talk about all of it. Thanks to Max. Thanks to Jalen Thompson. For Tommy, I'm Jacob. See you Monday.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.